if I were to ask you the broad question, what have the last 5 or 6 months been like? And I guess more specifically, the last few weeks and the lead up to organizing Buffalo after Pittsburgh fell through. What would you say in response to that question?
I think it's been certainly unlike anything I've ever expected or experienced. I think just the level of uncertainty. I think one of the things, though, Scotty, it's been a reminder is just that everyone in the world's kind of going through some, you know, fashion of what we experienced and we went through. So we certainly weren't alone and didn't want to, you know, over-dramatize what we were going through. But at a certain point, just the level of the unknowns, the level of waking up each day, uncertain as to what, you know, conditions outside of our control were going to kind of dictate the next 24 hours, pivoting, you know, spending so much energy and time on different efforts that would just evaporate. I think that it was just committing to doing the best thing possible for our team and players. And then really more than anything, being so proud of our team on and off the field, not making excuses, 21 straight days on the road, 4 days of doing nothing while we waited for to figure out what was going on with the Phillies, not knowing what our home or where our home would be, what it would look like, yet never hearing complaints, never hearing the victim mentality, just focusing on what they control. I just really believe that it's going to pay dividends in the core, you know, of our players as they move forward. It's going to be part of our story, part of who we are, and part of a championship foundation in the years ahead.
Yeah. How do you guys pack? Like, what do the players do when you know, well, you don't know where you're going? I'm sure some guys just bring a carry-on and you got other guys, what, packing 5-6 suitcases? How's anything funny with what guys have brought with them or some
well,
guys
I've
probably
been monitoring what our guys are packing among my responsibilities. I'm going to trust that they're grown men and they can figure out how to handle those kinds of things. If I'm starting to focus on the, if I'm inspecting the suitcases, we're all in big trouble. But, no, listen, those are the little things. You're right. Like, we don't think about those things and none of them are easy. There's a host of it's really, you know, you never want to feel sorry for professional athletes, but the life that they were living for 21 straight days on the road, from our inability to kind of get them anything other than a boxed meal to the fact that they are completely isolated in their hotel rooms. The only times they're not isolated are when they're at the stadium or at the ballpark they're playing at, and that's not their ballpark, cut off from the people that they love and care about and their teammates. It's just it's been very different. And for people who thrive on routine or who thrive on, you know, a life for year after year after year is kind of the same, to have that be so foreign and still expect to perform. Granted, everybody else is going through the same thing, but because we were the only team completely on the road, you know, it's been, put it this way, it's been very welcome to get two games that, you know, is not really our home, but our home away from home this year, and we're going to certainly work to make it that way.
With the president and CEO of the Blue Jays, Mark Shapiro, this is Leadoff, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Mark, you've got the alternate training site in Rochester, so some of your minor leaguers are going through their paces there. Baseball activities in a year where there are no minor leagues. Can you give us an update on how guys are doing, kind of what they're doing well there? And then alternatively, for the guys who are not part of the alternate training site, maybe some of the lower level guys who you do have hopes for, how is the organization watching over them and ensuring that they're continuing to progress as best they can in this weird time?
Yeah, the second one's a real challenge. The first one, the group of players that we've got at Rochester, you know, on our taxi squad, there's obviously different populations there. There's guys who are more major league depth type guys, like a Ruben Tejada, a veteran guy who's got multiple years of major league experience, Justin Miller, guys like that, who will provide us major league depth. And then there's guys like Austin Martin, Jordan Groshans, I think you're referring to, and numerous other guys like that, that we're taking advantage of the only opportunity that exists right now. And I say that the only sanctioned formal opportunity that exists for development. So what they're doing there is ensuring that the depth players are prepared. but also trying to be creative in both the way we're doing that and ensure that we have development opportunities for the players there, that this is our only chance to work developmentally this year. To do that, the best way to do that is to approach each player individually, not to take each 30 players as a group, but to think about them all individually and still create opportunities to kind of ensure that each player is getting the most out of the time over there. And it's been great. Ken Huckabee, who was going to be our AAA manager, has kind of led our efforts over there. We've got front office staff there. Our player development staff is monitoring and staying on top of it. For the other players that, you know, we don't have anything for, I think we still have hope that sometime this fall we'll get approval to move forward with some sort of instructional program, and that will be conducted at, you know, a incredibly new renovated facility down in Dunedin that'll open sometime in late October or mid-October. So we still hope that'll happen, but no, listen, again, it's a lost year of development. We have stayed in close contact, been creative in what we can do, but the players are largely left to be accountable for their own development. And, you know, due to the virus, you know, the places they can do that are limited as well. So again, the one thing I'd say is every team's going through the same thing, but we're trying to be creative in how we're approaching that.
What's the contingency plan if something like COVID runs through the team? I know it's not something you guys, you know, nothing anybody really plans for, but after seeing what's happened around the league, is there any kind of plan or idea what you guys or what GMs or presidents in general would do with their respective teams?
Well, I think what we've tried to do is learn from the experiences of the Cardinals and the Marlins and others, and that is largely, you know, be extremely diligent in the measures that would prevent that from happening, understand mm-hmm. where the breakdowns have happened with other teams and benefit from, you know, their experiences and their challenges, but also ensure that we are extremely diligent about contact tracing and understand who comes in contact with each player, so that if we do experience anything, we could cut it off and head it off before it's got community spread and impacts a broader number of players. You know, I think we're doing the best we possibly can under our operating parameters to mitigate that risk. But certainly still, you know, we're still in contact with some people outside of our modified bubble. So the risk certainly still exists. I feel good that our guys have been very compliant, taking it very seriously, understand the stakes for themselves, for the organization, and for the broader community. It started here at a different level than every single other team, because what they had to do and what they had to agree to do to have our training at Rogers Center was different from every other team. So they've held themselves to higher standards, and I think that that's going to bode well for the rest of the season for us.
With Mark Shapiro, the president and CEO of the Blue Jays, on the field, Mark, I'll hone in on Vladdy Jr. for mm-hmm. a second. I mean, there's no arguing the exit velocity of a lot of his contact, but there has been an issue with, and we're all using the newfangled terms, launch angle. There's been a lot of hard hit balls, but into the ground. What is your assessment of A, his offensive play, and B, maybe throw a thought in on his conversion to first base so far?
You know, Vladdy, I think if we could just go back a little bit in time to when, you know, there was public outcry that we were keeping him down in the minor leagues, and, you know, the consistent conversation from Ross and our baseball operations staff was that he's, you know, he was 19 years old, 20 years old, and development still to be completed. And the danger of bringing a player that fast and that young to the major league level is that you're going to experience both a transition and have to accomplish some development at the major league level. So we've seen a league adjust to him. We've seen him have to adjust his routines, both from everything, from conditioning, from hitting, from game-to-game batting adjustments at the major league level, which is the toughest place to make the adjustment. Because for most players, for mortal players, they're just trying to survive at the major league level. Yeah, we still see the unbelievable level of talent. We see the really positive energy and attitude. And the fact that he's a good teammate. I mean, even last night you watch him and he's out there pulling so hard for every guy. despite a game that was very mixed for him. So I still feel, you know, he's going to be an elite offensive talent. I think what you're seeing is a transition to the major league level that is different for every single player, an adjustment that have to be made, a career of adjustments, frankly. Whereas at the minor league level, he was so more talented than every other player that talent alone could often lead to elite performance. So I think, Scott, what you're seeing is just a player that is going through that transition, that is learning to make adjustments that he did not have to make at the minor league level, and that there's going to be some growing pains associated with that.
Would you say the same thing, maybe for different reasons, with Nate Pearson? I mean, we've seen him.
Not at all.
Okay.
Not at all. That's ridiculous. The guy's had less than 125 innings at the minor league level. What he's going through is 100% natural. I was frankly shocked to kind of hear the level of discourse on him after his second start, you know, when there was some mixed comments on that. I mean, it you have to expect when a guy had less than 125 innings and only three AAA starts that there's going to be a lot of ups and downs, not some, a lot. And that we are, while he is unbelievably talented, while his work ethic is elite, while his routines are at the very top, to try to simulate a season of AAA baseball, to try to, you know, think that he was just going to come up here and dominate at the major league level, that's just uninformed. I mean, almost no one in the history of the game does that. So again, the one piece of that is similar, Scott, is that yes, we're developing a player at the major league level for two reasons. One, because we don't have another place to develop him. And two, because his talent and raw ability certainly predicates and kind of gives us reason to believe he's going to be extremely successful here over time. But, you know, again, looking back at his track record, less than 125 innings, only three AAA starts, you can expect, you know, some ups and downs. What we'd like to see over the, you know, the shortened season is that we're able to kind of provide a foundation that gives him a strong reason to believe that going forward, he's going to be prepared to be a successful major league pitcher. And I would still believe that athleticism, work ethic, discipline, raw ability, you know, all those things are there. Every reason to believe he's going to be a very good major league pitcher for a long time, as long as he stays healthy.
Oh, right. And then I was referring to the quick adjustment that you make to the big leagues. I mean, the fact that it's all coming at these guys quickly. I don't think anybody's throwing in the towel on Nate Pearson, not at all.
Yeah, I know that. I think just the expectations have been a little unrealistic, that even when I listen to just comments and, you know, you have to expect extreme ups and downs. I mean, he is learning on the mound. Again, go back to kind of think about what 123 innings is of minor league experience, and then to be at the major league level with a level of information and game planning that goes in. There's no surprises when a major league hitter steps in the box, you know, with Nate's arsenal right now. They know exactly what to expect. They've watched hours of video and seen hours of breakdown on him. So that's going to require him to game plan and him to make adjustments at a level that he hasn't done before. So still extremely excited about him. I mean, when you look at kind of his transition along with what we've seen from Baruchy and Kay and Hatch, I all of a sudden feel like, okay, we've got a good core of young pitchers with more coming in Manoah and Klopfenstein and, you know, Simeon Woods Richardson. And there's just such good things. It's all starting to line up now. It's just, never happens quite at the pace that you want it to, but there's really good things happening.
And just last one for you, ahead of the August 31st trade deadline, more league wide, do you anticipate a normal trade deadline experience, more activity, less activity? How would you handicap that?
I don't know. I mean, nothing's normal. And I think the one reminder I've got is never know what to expect. I would think that, you know, there would be kind of two varieties of trades, one that are kind of, you know, built upon guys who are, you know, in the last year of their deal and just, you know, teams that don't feel like they've got, you know, the greatest chance to go deep into the playoffs and kind of want to try to get a prospect or player. But I don't think that people are going to be giving up a lot of talent for short-term trades this year. So I think that the bigger trades and the harder ones to construct are going to be on multi-year talents and multi-year outlooks. And I don't know how common they're going to be. The other reality is it's going to be hard for anybody to say they're out of it this year. So throwing in the towel is going to be a challenging and difficult thing to do. So I guess I would say, like everything else in the world we're dealing in, there's a lot of uncertainty, and we'll have to kind of just wait and see how that plays out.